The passage that has been chosen for this morning come from book of or the letter to the Ephesians. Don't look for the passage on the screen. It will not be there. I'm still, that is one part of technology that I still don't agree with. I would like you to open your Bibles on the phone, or if you have actual Bibles out there, and I'm more than happy to wait for 2 minutes for you to go and grab the Bible. So there's no text appearing on the screen. So the passage this morning is a letter to Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 15 to verse 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to verse 23. And this is what Paul says to this church. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul's passages are always something that you can take and think, oh, I can see so many sermons in them. But I'm trying to stick to a few things this morning. As I've mentioned earlier, the first service of every year is called as a covenant service. Now, what we do here is not something that suddenly a few years ago someone thought, oh, we must do it. It's a brilliant idea. Let's do it. You know, it's something unique. No, it didn't happen like that. The aspect of covenant has been in practice for ages, for many thousand years. Now, the word covenant has its very root in the Bible, and we see a lot of different covenants that were renewed, that were extended and made new during our biblical story. Now, the word covenant is, in a simple way, it's just simply an agreement. But it is not just like, oh, I will come and see you at 3 o'clock, and we call someone at 10 minutes to 3 and say, oh, sorry, I couldn't come because I just wanted to sleep a bit more. It was not that sort of agreement. But agreement, in a way, which is the highest kind of an agreement. You know, we understand the legal binding contracts in this day and age, where if we don't stand by it, we'll have a compensations to give or some other things to fulfill those agreements. But covenant, in the historic sense, can be something that is so bound that a person who fails to stand by it will also have to lose, or may also have to lose, his or her life. So it is a that serious activity. It is not just a passing passingly saying, oh, yeah, fine, I understand and I'll do it. It is like if you say you do it, you stand by it, no matter what. One of these, the first of these covenants that we see in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 9. What happened in Genesis chapter 9? Do you remember that old man God said, go and build the ark? Interestingly, Sunday school that's dealing with this story. You know that old man God said, go and build the ark. He built the ark. Crazy guy, three footballs length ark. He built the ark. God brought all the animals, inside. Then there was rain for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights, and then water submerged the earth, and God punished everybody who didn't follow his way. And once the water went down, Noah offered sacrifice to God in Genesis chapter 9. And that was the first covenant, or one of the first covenants in the Bible, which we see in verse 11, which says, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And you know what? God gave a sign for this covenant. What was the sign? A rainbow. In verse 16, we see that God says, the rainbow in the sky is a sign that I will stand by my covenant. And that's the beginning, and that's just the first one. But then there are quite a few other covenants that we see in the Bible. And this whole exercise as a church family, being part of this church family, and that God loving us, you know, Christ coming on us, coming down on this earth and sacrificing his life, his resurrection, is part of God's covenant with us. And we'll get to that. Now, historically, the covenant aspect always has been a part of the church. In various eras and all that stuff, there were a lot of covenants that churches took oath and made covenant with one another. But this was again brought at the front, forefront, and was given a lot more importance when the churches moved away from what we call, when the churches became free churches, or what we would call Reformation. You know, and Methodist churches started to appear, Baptist churches started to appear, a lot of free churches started to appear. And during this time of church history, the churches started focusing on making a covenant with one another. And naturally, Baptist and Methodist were the major churches which focused on this. So there are lots of Methodist churches and Baptist churches who would still do that. And naturally, Countess of Huntingdon, because she was also from the same era and she established the churches of the same time, she thought, oh, that's a wonderful thing. Let's make that covenant. And I think, therefore, it has been a part of our church family. Now, covenants mainly focused on three aspects. The covenant that we have with God and other believers, and thus Christ is the head. It is a reminder that God and Christ is the head of the church. It doesn't matter how dashing and important and beautiful speaker you have, or prime minister you have, he is not the head of the church. It's Christ who is the head of the church. You know, someone said, oh, I'm really good last week. There was a pointer on a PPT. You should have joined my service last time. Second point that they focused on, that God has stood firm and stood his ground in the covenant. The covenant that God made with his people, with you and me, God has not changed his agenda and said, sorry, I don't want to do it now. He stood by it. And thirdly, and I think that's one of the major points why the covenant was brought back in the church life, and that's one of the reasons why we are doing it this morning, is that because we are people of covenant with God, we are people of covenant with one another. And the way God has stood and played his part in the covenant, we also must Is my sentence coming right? We must fulfill our part of covenant. And therefore, we believe in the practice of priesthood of all believers. That there is no hierarchy in the church. That we all are equally responsible. We all equally share the responsibility in serving the Lord and glorifying Him in everything that we do. And this morning, we would be saying a covenant. Can we please have a covenant on the screen, if we can, Ollie? Thank you. No, there's a covenant slide after that, I suppose. It's not there? No? It's fine. I'll check that a bit later. Okay, this is something that we would be saying after the sermon. But I don't want us to say it just because it's up there and because we are present here in the church this morning. There's another slide that I was expecting to come, which had the whole covenant on it. I wanted us to read that before we say it and agree to it. Because let's not be a part of a tradition. Let's not do something because we have been doing it for over the years and it sounds really fancy to have a covenant service and let's agree to it and then go back home and live our life and don't even remember what we have said and agreed to. But this morning, the reason I've chosen the passage that we have read earlier is because we need God's grace and God's help to stand by this covenant. You know, when I was preparing a sermon or when I was planning for this service, I had another title on my mind, and the title was, "Whose Work Is It Anyway?" You know, we are God's people, we are serving the Lord, and always the question is, whose work is it anyway? It's not my work. If someone is struggling, it is not my work, but we are people of covenant. We are people who have experienced God's love. And therefore, when we stand here this morning, when we agree to this, and as a church family, when we would say, as a family of God, we will, I want each and everyone here this morning to be confident that yes, we will, because we can, and because we are not on our own in this, because God is with us. And that's where the prayer, what Paul said to his people, comes handy for us. There are three things that Paul is talking about. There are three things that I would like to highlight. And if you can go back to that slide, please. Thank you. There are three things that Paul is highlighting here. And as always, my message is not mystery. It's always up there because I really don't do that well with PPT. Are you not able to get that? Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I can see another slide. Yes, that's the covenant that we would be reading together. And I would like to pause here for some time, and I would like the opportunity for you to read this before we proceed in our sermon. Now, as I said, there are three things that I would like to talk about. Can we please go back to my first slide there? Or don't follow my slide numbers. Yes, that's one. I must tell you, I'm really messed up when I'm naming my files and naming my slides. There are three things, as you can see on the screen, that we would be talking about this morning. Verse 17 says, that you may have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, the church at Ephesus was in a fairly new church because it was about 20 years there, but it was not new in a sense because it was a well-established church. You know, if we read, as we read this passage this morning, you know, Paul first praises their works, thanks God for them, for good deeds that they're doing. This church of Ephesus is one of those churches where Paul visited during his missionary journey. It is also seen in Book of Acts where Paul goes and talks and describes about how he serves there. It is also the same church which receives a letter a bit later in history from John in Book of Revelation. You know, there are seven churches in Book of Revelation in the first three chapters where John is writing a letter to. The church of Ephesus is one of those churches. So it was well-recognized church community that was there. And Paul is not saying that you will receive a new spirit. Paul, you know, I don't know where we sit on this, but I believe that all of us have received God's spirit in our lives. We all have God's spirit in us. So Paul is not saying to them that you will receive a new spirit. But Paul is telling them that the spirit that you have in you will give you wisdom and revelation. For what? If you have Bible in your hands, can you please read verse 17? Verse 17 says this: I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. For what? So that you may know him better. You know, many a times when we use the words wisdom and revelation and spirit, we always think, oh, it's for someone else. Oh, God, give me a revelation so that I can see what others need, or how can I give the word of wisdom for that person. But no, Paul is saying you need wisdom and revelation for yourself. As we take part in this covenant this morning, and as we say, yes, we will, we need that wisdom and revelation from God to know him better. Or just as the word says, to know him. There is no one here this morning, including myself or anybody else here this morning, can say, I know God, full stop. Because we are still knowing him every day a bit better. We are still getting more and more experiences of him in our life every day. There's always something new that we learn about God in our life. And that is the prayer that Paul is saying. Wisdom simply means living a life from God's perspective. Revelation, in the very simplest way, as I would like to describe, is able to see and understand things the way God would see and understand them. It is not important what you think about it, but it is looking at things from God's perspective. And if we want to fulfill that covenant and responsibility, we all need that God's wisdom and revelation. The second thing that I would like to highlight is that our hearts might be enlightened. Now, when I was reading at this prayer, I thought, has Paul misplaced the prayer? It just feels like one of those prayers that he should have said to the church, which was just or not even a group of believers who are just trying to grow in the Lord, just the new believers kind of a prayer, that you might have a spirit that gives you wisdom and revelation, that your hearts might be enlightened. It just sounds like that. Because we can sit here and I can sit here and say, oh, you know, I know about God and I know His truth and I don't need to do that. You know, what is interesting about book of this church at Ephesus, that in this letter, they are being praised for their works, that they love each other. But if we read at the letter that is written to them in the book of Revelation, they are being, I would say, scolded by John or by God for the way they have fallen down from where they were in serving the Lord. And we all can do that, where we can be fully on zeal for the Lord, working for Him, serving Him, glorifying Him in everything and every places where we go. And suddenly we might find a place where we have lost the sight of serving Him. And in some or the other way, my dear church family, we are already in that place. You know, enlightened is simply means seeing something, that we are able to see things. But how many of us, including myself, and when I ask this question, that includes me as well, how many of us are actually in a place where for us serving the Lord or glorifying God, now don't get confused with the word serving. It is not just being part of the church family. Serving means going on glorifying God wherever we are. Takes the precedence over what I want and what I need and what are my requirements in life. Difficult choice. You know, 2M friend concept, whenever I talk about it, just it sounds so impractical. 2M friend, no, 8 p.m. is fine. After that, it's my time. We would be enlightened to see the great hope and inheritance that we have. You know, on a Christmas day, we said this, that the hope that we have is an assured hope because Christ chose to come down. Our hope is not something that we are not sure about, but our hope is an assured hope that He will come back for us. And when we live a life with that, we need to live a life that is focused, that is enlightened, that leads a life that glorifies the Lord. And that is what Paul is praying for this church. Third thing that Paul is praying, that the church would have God's incomparable power to be with them. I know just before Christmas we heard sermons on Holy Spirit. And that, you know, for us it is difficult to understand how huge that thing is to have God's Spirit to lead us and be and live in our lives. We simply cannot understand it. But we need to ask God to help us understand that. You know, this passage is very, very clear that it's the same Spirit that brought Christ back from the death. It's the same Spirit, my dear church family, that was there when the world was created. It's the same Spirit of God that we see very active and involved in human history that we read in the Bible. It's the same Spirit, my church family, that we see that has guided people over years, and we see that people have experienced God's leading in their life. It's the same Spirit that lives in us. And yet, we hide behind the curtains of who I am. Yet we hide behind the fact, oh, that's just me, I cannot do it. No, come on, let's stop doing it. I keep telling this story. I am the worst introvert person you would ever see on this world. Because I don't like people. I'm like, let me alone, leave me in my room. But If I define by that and if I stand by it, I will not be standing here and preaching God's word this morning. But I believe in the power that God has given each and every one of us. I have not received any special quota from God. What I have received is what you have received. And it's the same spirit that God that brought Christ back from the dead. My dear church family, we need to believe in this. We can read this covenant or we can read other biblical passages where we talks about what we must do and we might look at this and say, oh, that's impossible or that's difficult. No, it is not. Because God will not ask us to or God will not want us to do anything that is impossible for us to do. You know, there is this hymn which says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. We need to trust the power that we have in the Lord. And that is the prayer that Paul is praying to this church, for this church. And that is the prayer that I want all of us to carry this morning, these three things that we should be praying for one another this throughout this year. We should be praying this prayer for ourselves. I want you to pray this prayer for me this year, as I would be praying for each and every one of you. That Lord, help us, help Sad to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation. That help Sad that his heart might be enlightened. That he would know of God's incomparable power that he has in him. Let's pray this prayer for one another. Because we are people of covenant. We are people who have agreed to be part of each and every one's life. You know, there's a word that I would like to live with you this morning, which we all know. Next slide, please. Thank you. Next one. Yes. And at the beginning, the screen said, did you pair with God? Ask this question. Pair with God this year. Pray. Something that we have done over the years, for the centuries now. I don't know if that term applies to anyone here. I'm not sure. Acknowledge God's power in you. We have not yet acknowledged that. Seek insight from God. And respond to what you see around. We need to pair with God. We need to respond to what God wants us to do in our church family. We need to be aware of what's happening around us. We need to see things around. We need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying for people that we come across. My dear church family, God wants us to be a part of what He is doing for this world. When we say that covenant this morning, it is our commitment to God and to one another. But that is only possible and doable when we pray, when we acknowledge His presence and power in our life, when we seek for God's insights, and when we respond to it. Let's spend some time in prayer as the choir comes forward. I would like to encourage you to pray for one another. If you would like to get up from your places and go to someone else and pray for that person, please do it. If you not necessary that you have to join in for singing, let them sing. They're doing a brilliant job this morning. But I would like to invite you to spend this time in praying. Praying for yourself, praying for one another, and asking God. Basically to acknowledge the power that we have in our lives. And to be willing to respond to what God is doing. Thank you.